Good morning, everybody. I thank the Lord for being here. I think I had what Dave had last week. I think I had it since Wednesday, and I'm still in recovery. And I ask for you all to bear with me. I probably won't do a lot of running and jumping today, but I stand before you in awe of our Creator, in awe of God and who He is, in awe of God's ways, how He organizes things. Sean taught the sermon this morning. The sermon has been spoke of all throughout this morning. The scripture text is Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read the entire text. And this has been on my heart for several days now, and in my adventures of the 3 days running from one room to the other at the house, in the lull between the need to go, I watched a few fishing shows. You might know I like fishing a little bit, but there's this one show called Lender's Angling Edge. And it's on the Pursuit Channel, I believe it is. And Al Linder is a Christian, and he's unashamed of his Christianity. In fact, he was on another show, and he had to leave that show because of his Christianity. But he has his own show. And at the end of his show, he'll have just a few minutes of he'll have a short testimony or a short sermon, or just a bit of Bible study. But the one I seen last, and I can't remember what day it was, so everything's been kind of a blur, but I don't remember what day it was. But he said he had In Touch book, and it's from Charles Stanley. And he was reading out of it, and it talked about Charles Stanley made the statement when he was a young man, he got saved. And then where he grew up, all the laws was thrown at him, and it was such a burden to be saved, he said. He said, and as I was growing up as a teenager, it kept me so confounded. All I could do was ask God for forgiveness, because everything I did was wrong. He realized he couldn't be good enough. And he said it got to be where being a Christian was a burden. And that's our point here today. Being a Christian is not a burden. Being a Christian can't be a burden. If it is a burden, you need to reevaluate. You need to get into the scriptures again. In the example that I thought about was, I wrote down here just a bit, the depth of our sin. And we've talked a lot about that here, and we did a Bible study on the root of sin. And the sin is our selfishness, which was hit on this morning. Pride, lack of humility. So the depth of our sin is us. We gotta admit that. The depth of my sin is not Debbie. The depth of my sin is Jamie. And each and every one of you need to say that about yourself. The depth of your sin is you. Okay, so now we got to see how deep salvation has to go to bring us out of that. So the depth of salvation is just as deep as the depth of our sin. Everybody agree with that? You see that? So how far Jesus had to go to pull us out of there. So if you saw recently, Debbie's riding around in a new vehicle. We finally give up on that old Subaru. Old Sean, he patched it and he buttered it and he smoothed it. And oh, that thing, first day I sent her out on it, it went in that limp mode. If you ever heard of limp mode, I never heard of it, but it's not a good mode. Anyways, so we go to our friend in Parkersburg, whom we always deal with, that one bad one there. I took it upon myself to go find a good car. needless to say, a year later, we got rid of that good car. And we went and let somebody know what they're doing, get us a good car. But that brought me to this thought of the purchase agreement, when we sit down and sign the papers. Okay, so yeah, this is going somewhere. It really is. The purchase agreement is going to be, it's going to boil down to our salvation. Okay, but it all begins with Phil. He has a car, and we want it. And Phil says, "Jamie, this car is this much." I look at it, I said, "Phil, I don't have that much." So he says, "I got a friend that has a bunch that might give you some." So we fill out our paper, and we give our paper to Phil, and he gives it to his friend, and his friend, we'll give you this. No, your credit score is this. It's okay. We'll do this. Okay, we're all agreed here, you know. You see where I'm going with this? We're all agreed here, and we signed a purchase agreement. And Phil sold me that car because that guy gave him that money because my credit score said that I was good for it. And we signed that purchase agreement. So that's where we're going to go from here, is our salvation. I could sign all day long, and they can do a credit score check on each and every one of us, and none of us is good for it. What Jesus did. Agreed. That's the key to what Sean taught this morning. That's going to be the key to Ephesians chapter 2. And if you've turned there, if you all would stand, those who can, because I'm going to read the entire chapter of verse 2. I tried to narrow it down, and I cannot, and I'm not feeling too well, and I thought, we'll let the Word of God speak to us fully and completely. It'll be directly out. Try to stay focused as best you can. I'll do the best I can on the words, but listen to what God is telling us through Paul's writing. And you, see, you're all involved in it, right here. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's speaking to us all. And then he says, he quickened. And that quickened means revived. He brought to life again. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. When in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan himself, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was taught to us this morning. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He just told us the point we were at, but he's telling us the point he's at the same time. He loved us while we were dead in our sins and trespasses. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11, Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. Having no hope without God in this world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us. That's the barrier between us and God, and that was the barrier between the circumcision and uncircumcision, Gentiles and Jews. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather together in this house of worship, Lord, to proclaim you as God, Creator, to worship together, to encourage one another, to give you glory and honor as you richly deserve, to come and sing songs of praise, to say testimonies of what you've done in our lives, to pray prayers that we know fall on hearing ears. We ask, Lord, again, you guide us through your word here this morning, Lord. I ask you get these words conveyed with your Holy Spirit. I ask for you to get me out of the way this morning, Lord. And I do thank you again for your love and your mercy. I pray for our pastor and his family today, Lord, as they are apart from us. I ask again, Lord, that you be with those that are sick and grieved, those in hospitals, Lord. Just wrap your arms around them as only you can, Lord. We know you love, you care, and you'll be there. And again, I ask for you to forgive me. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. That took about all the energy I had right there. But when Sean opened up, I talked about Ephesians chapter 2, I thought, Lord, thank you so much for your confirmation on this service here today. But we'll talk about that purchase agreement and the purchase item is you. The purchase item is you. So everybody take note and hear what I'm saying today. The importance of each and every one of us that is here. The purchase item is you today and me. And I'm going to look at Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 8 and 9. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And the emphasis is going to be all about what Jesus done. We're going to see where we fall into the plane. We are the item that is being purchased. The importance of what we do is nothing. The importance of what Christ does is everything. I'm going to read that again. The purchased item is, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how important you are to God. And you've heard this many, many times. But I had a preacher say, tell it again, and tell it again, and tell it again. I heard a guy say that, oh, I don't like to hear that preacher. All he talks about is Jesus. Duh. Nothing else about is relevant without Jesus. Those songs we sang this morning is about Jesus. The lesson that was taught this morning is about Jesus. The gospel that is written in the scriptures is about Jesus. The only place I see Jamie or anybody else in there is someone in need of Jesus. So the key this morning, the relevancy of this sermon this morning is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross. The purchased item, so we know the relevance of Christ. We know the importance of what he done. So the purchased item is us. I remember some friends we had from John, our Uncle John, Rick's brother, that passed away in 78. Yeah, he married to a lady up in high. But they come down here, and when we first met them, they'd call us Ewans. Hey, Ewans, what y'all? What, we say y'all, they say Ewans. But anyways, that's what the purchased item is y'all today. Christ buying us from what? Sin. He's buying us from ourselves. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. Where I went to the bank, I told Phil, I said, Phil, I can't pay that. I know a guy. Well, right now, I'm telling you, I know a guy that paid the full price for your sin. He can pay it fully and completely. Okay, moving on. What was the price for you? What are you worth? What are you worth? Some of us think we're worth a lot. But in this world, we know our value can't get us anywhere. So, let's look at Acts chapter 20. And I got these marked real quick. You can write them down, look them up later. Acts chapter 20, I'm going to read verse 28. And this is so clear to what it says. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Listen to what it says right here. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. That was the price. The only way we could have a relationship with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way around it. Like he was teaching this morning, no amount of works will substitute for the blood of Jesus. We could pull all of our blood together, and man, what a mess we would make. And it wouldn't get one hair of anybody's head into heaven. But one drop of the precious blood of Jesus Christ was enough to satisfy the need, to meet the sacrifice that God required for our sin. And once we had agreed with my friend Phil and our third-party buddy come in and said, Phil, he's good for it. We started signing. And let's talk about the signature of your purchase. John 19, chapter John chapter 19, verse 30. Here's Jesus' signature. When Jesus therefore had received vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He had just completed what needed done. He had just fulfilled the sacrifice that God required. And let's turn to Luke. I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 24. And this is in closing. Luke chapter 24 says, "Then opened he their understanding." Now listen, folks, listen. "Then opened he their understanding." Did I get that right? Luke chapter 24, verse 45. "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." That is the final signature. That is the stamp of approval. That made the way for you to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Belinda, if you guys want to come and get a song, I sang this song all morning in my head. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. How many has heard that song since they was a little kid? I remember singing that at Shepherd's Chapel up there, on the side of the road. I think Anita Cooper's dad owns that building now. We spent a lot of time in that. That's the point of this whole day has been. The precious blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, nothing is possible. Only through the blood of Christ can we have a relationship with our God in heaven.